And welcome to the Jetstream podcast, the post-match review after a wet, chilly, windy 3-1 loss in the round of 32 in the FFA Cup to Melbourne Victory. We've all retired back to the Premier Hotel, which looks like a pretty good venue for the season upcoming, I think. Nods around the table. So we've got a couple of people around the table to have a chat about the game that we've just witnessed. Introduce yourselves, because I can't be bothered.
Wayne Brown.
Or isn't it Poliak?
Yeah. Oh, Poliak. No. Yeah. No. Lee Broxham.
The man with no neck.
No. Bodie. Peter.
Emma.
And I'm David.
And I'm, of course, Ferns. All right, so guys, we've just come back from the Magic Park. Have we all defrosted and dried out yet?
Because can't feel my hands.
I think my phone's just about dried out. I was periscoping some videos at some point.
I'm not going to say anything. Wayne Brown was just wearing his polo shirt, so
yeah,
if he's tough enough, I'm tough enough.
It sort of put everyone to shame, didn't it? All right, Bodes, we'll kick it off with you. Give an overview of the game first, and then we'll get into some specific details. But what do you think of how we did overall? Obviously, the score notwithstanding.
Yeah, not taking out the score. Conditions impacting on what could have been a good game of football. Quality shone through, I think, in the end. Just a little bit of difference between the Jets and Melbourne. And yeah, that's probably the only way to sum it up. Just a little bit of quality.
Down the squad?
Yeah, pretty much.
Pete?
For me, even though we had most of the possession, I really just didn't feel that we had control of the ball. Like, there wasn't enough urgency on the ball. There was a lot of loose passes. So it was just a slightly disappointing for me.
Emma?
I'm the eternal optimist, so I'm taking away what was good about it. I think I'm impressed with the new players coming in and having a lot of passion and heart to play in the Jet shirt. So, you know, even though it wasn't the best show and it wasn't the best outcome, I think I saw a lot of, like, little link-ups between new players and old players, and I saw a lot of heart from the new players. So I'm going to take that as a positive and run with that.
Dave?
I don't have the same level of optimism that I had following the same game last year, which was Miller's first game. But I think we certainly saw the difference this year between two teams, one that has been together as a core unit for a number of years and has played some relatively competitive trial matches prior to this match, compared to a team that has really only had the one competitive hit out behind closed doors against the mob that came last year. Yes, that's you, the Gippos.
Well, that's certainly true. Well, I mean, get into a bit of detail. I mean, Melbourne have had a lot of turnover, and we were hoping, and we did talk about it in the preview, that we hope that our squad depth would be better than theirs. We're hoping to see some sort of tail off towards the end of the game, but Bodes, we didn't really see that to any great extent. They were pretty competitive for the entire game.
Yeah, and I think the weather come back to that sort of thing. The conditions levelled, I think, the two teams together, and I think it comes back to my original statement about the quality. But I think if you look at Melbourne, their spine was still absolute quality. They've got the new Spanish fella. Do we know the
Barrow.
Name? Barrow. He was fantastic. Valeri and Bozanic were fantastic, and Berisha, until he went off, scored a goal. He's done his job. So,
and realistically, we talked about the changes that Victory have had. Mitch Austin and Alan Barrow were really the only two players that were additions to that squad from the players that they didn't have last year.
Yeah.
So it certainly is an indication they had the depth before. How they're going to go later on,
who knows? Yeah. So first 15 minutes or so until the Victory scored, Emma, we seemed to struggle to get into the game, I think. And then it seemed that after the Victory did score, that was when we seemed to take a bit more control of the game, and there was a bit more bite in midfield. We seemed to pass the ball around a lot better. But the first 15 minutes were a bit of a struggle. It took us a while to get into it.
I think that goal woke them up a little bit, which, again, taking the positives, old Jets, a goal against you in the first 15 minutes would have been heads down, this sucks, especially in conditions like tonight.
Hashtag
so, so the fact that they did pick up after that, I think, is a good sign. And, you know, we were 50-50 new guys, old guys tonight, so it's fair that it takes them a little while to get going, and that's what this preseason DLO is about. So I think it's not so bad.
Yeah, Pete, we do seem to. It does seem to be a bit of a pain in the backside for these games to come so early in the preseason. It doesn't really give, especially the lower level teams, so I use that term advisedly. Obviously, your bigger teams, for want of a better word, like your Melbourne Victories and Sydney FCs, will have better opposition lined up, whereas it seems Coast, ourselves,
Wellington,
they seem to struggle to be able to properly prepare for these games.
You mean the poorer teams?
Well, yeah, the teams that don't have, you know, the ones that are more marquee names to be able to attract the bigger teams to play.
Yeah, I think that definitely showed tonight. We just didn't really have the cohesion that I would have liked to have seen, but that comes down to lack of practice between all of the players, I think. But in saying that, you know, Brown, you know, on debut for the Jets was a standout for me. I think he really played well, really melded with the rest of the team. I think it was good signs.
Yeah, Dave?
Yeah, no, I think Pete's picked up a good point there. There were a lot of players on debut.
How many players did we have debut in tonight?
Oh, geez. From a competitive match for the Jets, you had Devante Clute, you had Andrew Naboo, you had Wayne Brown. Andrew Hill's coming back, but he's obviously not part of that. And then, look, Ben Kennedy had only got the one opportunity last year against Melbourne Victory as well.
He's effectively on debut again.
Yeah, he's essentially a noob.
And so these guys have had the practice, and there's a complete difference from what Pete, as Pete has basically said, that competitive matches, it's completely different to the level of intensity that you can develop in training.
Yeah. Bodes, we'll talk about highlight some individual players. How did you see, obviously it's been a long time since we've seen BK between the sticks. How did you see his performance?
Rusty, I think, would describe his performance. The one that really got me out was that free kick late in the first half, where I think it was a real true sign of BK's potential. He got himself caught in a really bad position, but was lucky enough to get him back and actually make a decent save. Mm. Look, he'll be better for it, but he's got a big challenge in his hand with Jack Duncan coming back. And I tell you now, Jack Duncan hasn't come back to sit on the bench. He's come back to play.
For me, I'd say that Ben probably did little to silence the debate surrounding his adequacy as a number one, and probably also then put in question Scott Mills' recruitment in bringing in a player probably the similar level in Jack Duncan, when we're looking to replace a player of a higher level in Mark Berrigiti.
Mm-hmm. But when you're looking for a goalkeeper, while it's always been said Australia has good goalkeeping stocks, who is really available? You've got a 42-year-old Ante Kovic and Vukovic who's not going to come to the Newcastle Jets.
We spoke about that last year, that that there was real thin stocks coming off contract in the goalkeeping stakes this year. We were speaking about Lawrence Thomas last year. His performances
he's Melbourne Victory's number one now, you'd say.
He is.
Push Vukovic out of the club and all.
But Duncan has more potential, I think, than Kennedy. Kennedy's been here and not performed today.
And hasn't improved at all since.
Duncan's coming in and he's got potential to improve.
I think PK's definitely improved from the season 5-6 where everyone was calling. If you take the back end of season 10, the stubborn season, and the game he got last year, he was a standout player in my opinion. But in saying that, they're one-off type games sort of thing. So, look,
he got the start tonight because of his history with the club,
exactly.
Because of his
and
form.
And in my opinion, BK should get first crack at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, I think he should too.
But this was first crack.
Yeah. It is. It's a competitive game, but you think he would be given more than one game.
Yeah, because Peter, do you think that it's going to take a while for BK to hit his straps? I mean, if a keeper, sometimes with keepers, you've got to play them into form, like strikers. You know, it's going to take for a while for the confidence to get back, especially for a previously number two who's now thrust into the number one position. It's going to take a while for him to make that step back up.
I definitely agree, and I mean, I'm freely going to admit I am Ben Kennedy's least favourite fan. I do not really rate him. I never have. I've always been probably unfairly unspoken about him. And not only is it going to take him a while to get back into the season, it's going to take him quite a while to win a lot of fans like myself over. And until he wins those fans over and gets the support from the crowd and the fans, his confidence is going to keep going down, and it's not going to help him at all.
The debate will continue.
Yeah, definitely. And while ever that debate's around, he's not going to perform, I don't think.
And then again, looking at online conversation last year, there was a big discussion about who was better, BK or Beres. So, you know, there were even people around that didn't like Beres because of certain aspects of his game. So, but I, you know,
goalkeeper is an easy scapegoat at the end of the day. It's the easiest person to attack.
Yeah,
it's
very true.
Yeah, but if you can't hack that, don't become a goalkeeper.
Yeah, exactly right. that's why they've got the keepers union for.
Yeah, exactly. So Emma, we obviously missing Bugard tonight. How did you see the central defence pairing of Mullen and Canner? Because obviously that was another topic of discussion last year when we had the rotating centre backs at various stages throughout the season. How did you see them tonight?
I'm going to start positive and say I really enjoyed Poljak as captain.
Yep.
I really like Canner, and I really like that he can cover positions, but you just feel it when you've got that hole in the back. Like, I'm surprised he didn't get a red card. I thought in the wet he was going to slide into someone, get a red card and be out of there. So that's an upside. But yeah, you need Boogs in the back. I think and I don't think Canner's the appropriate replacement anymore. So
it speaks a lot for Lachlan Jackson. Like, Lachlan Jackson was fit and able to play tonight, and they've chosen centre midfield come centre back. And look, I'm going to say this. I said at the end of last year, maybe Canner needed to move on to better his career. Well, after tonight, my opinion is still the same. I think that he had to move on to maybe better his career.
Well, one of the things we did discuss last season as well, Dave, was that Scott Miller always seemed to, especially in defence, in key positions on the field, he always seemed to go for experience rather than give youth a try. Mm-hmm. And he's done the same thing again tonight, picking Canner, the seasoned professional, I say that with air quotes, as opposed to picking Lachlan Jackson, who Lachlan Jackson seems to be mainly used as a stopgap fullback rather than somebody to put in the centre of defence.
Yeah, I mean, I was surprised, and I was standing with Pete at the game, and I said, at the beginning of the game, I was surprised to see.
So you were dry, were you?
Yeah, we were dry.
Yeah, rub it in, you bastard.
That's all right. I said that I was surprised to see Ben Kanarovsky starting over Lachlan Jackson. I was under the impression Bugard was going to play, but I thought that if he wasn't, I would have brought Lachlan Jackson in his place. If you have it for the bench, we've got some attackers. We've got essentially three attackers and one defender on the bench for an outfield player.
Which was Jackson.
Yeah, which was Jackson. But you could have been looking to put Canter there to cover both the midfield and the defence should an injury occur. This is the sort of game where I think Lachlan Jackson could have got a run.
Hmm. Bodes?
Yeah, Dave said 100%. I'm just so surprised. Not so surprised, but I thought that tonight was a perfect opportunity for us to play two centre-backs. And look, at the end of the day, Lachlan Jackson is not a left-back. He's a centre-back.
He is.
Yeah, so... And it's actually sad because I think I still think Kanarowski's best position is in the middle of the field. I thought he could have become a centre-back, but look, I think his position is now proven that he's better off in the middle of the park.
I think Canner's like Kennedy, though. He gets a look in
because
of who he is and because of the experience and the history. So, but
the coach doesn't have the 10-year history here.
Yeah, but you still get that coming through. You can't ignore that, even if you've come from outside.
Yeah. Fullbacks, Boats, Cowburn and Hoffey. I think they did bomb forward at stages. Hoffey, especially on our side in the first half. In the second half, we did see him trying to put some crosses in, but I think he struggled with the conditions.
Yeah, I wasn't too concerned about Hoffman. I thought it was just a normal Hoffman performance. 7 out of 10, didn't do anything flashy, didn't do anything really outstanding wrong. But Cowburn tonight, I just thought that it was a real opportunity for him for Vajuka not playing to say, hey, this is my position. You've got to go. And yeah, he didn't really stand out. And I'm about to say, well, funny enough, I think it might have something to do with his beard. Got rid of the beard. And
I agree.
Yeah, it's all stopped. But that Cowburn didn't have the greatest of games tonight.
How'd you see the fullbacks, Pete?
I think it's, you know, there just wasn't enough urgency. I keep coming back to that, but for me, there wasn't enough push for the ball. And that was the same in defence too, as much as the midfield and as much as up front. The defenders for the half of the field that I could see, because we were down one end of the field and vision's not great, but there just wasn't enough push for the ball. The players didn't seem to be being marked as much. The defence just wasn't great for me at this point. I'm not sure whether that's too critical, but that's just where I am at the moment.
Can I do a positive?
Sure,
please do.
I thought there was a nice relationship between Hoffman and Naboo, and I think that has a lot of good potential to grow down that right side. Mm-hmm. So even if you're going to criticise the defence per se, I think that channel that they're developing, that partnership, is going to be good for the rest of the season if they can develop it.
All right. While we're talking with you, Emma, the midfield of Igarkovic and Poliak, I think Poliak struggled a bit with his passing range. A lot of passes seemed to go astray, but I think Stevie had a better account, I think, during the game.
Yeah, I like Igarkovic. I think he shone in a bit of a non-shiny place. I think Poliak, maybe it's not all down to him. You know, it's got to be hard when you're in that kind of distributing position, but you can't, if you're not familiar with the players in a match fitness situation yet, maybe he's just got to learn what people do and what people want, and maybe that's going to come good. I don't know.
Dave?
I'm going to go in and disagree. I thought Poliak and Igarkovic, along with Naboo, were our three best players tonight. Okay. I thought Poliak and Igarkovic, besides possibly Bezanic, Valeri, maybe one other pairing in the league, are the best two holding midfielders combination. I thought Igarkovic was brilliant tonight. Mm. And I actually said to Laurie McKinnon, I said, your first job for tomorrow, and he bumped into his Scottish accent and said he's got to take his wife to the airport. I said, well, after that, you've got to sign Igarkovic down to a long deal. He's a fantastic player. Like, you can just, his mind is just so switched on. It's so impressive. If we can sign Igarkovic down for a long-term deal, we're going to benefit for it in the long run.
Why did you start this with, I'm going to disagree? I said he was the shiny
one.
No,
he was Poliak. I thought Poliak was good. Like, I think they complement each other so well, and we had that problem last year with Watson and Poliak. We miss you, Watson.
We really don't.
Who?
Yeah, Watson. That was the thing. They stood on each other's toes, where Poliak and Igarkovic, they work so well in tandem together, so... yeah, I thought they were fantastic. Dave?
I'm just going to continue the guy love that Bodes and I have and agree with what Bodes says. I said, I'll just
get
sum
a
up.
Room.
I'll just. Yeah, we will.
Fair you, Stevie UG.
I'm just going to stand here. I'm just going to sit here and think of Stevie UG and say, I'm in love.
Yeah. I can probably. If he keeps going the way he is, I can see him probably leaving the club at the end of the season. We need to sign him down to get a long term.
Bodes and I stood there
plan.
And said, let's enjoy this while we can, because he's gone at the end of the season. If he continues playing like this, he's just simply a league beyond us.
All right. Dave, Devante Clute, how did you see his debut performance?
I thought it was strong. He had some good touches. He got himself into a position, and yes, he shot at the goal, and he spoke about that, and he's disappointed.
You'll hear that at the end.
But he was always looking to turn and play forward. Looking to play a risky, dangerous pass, yes, at times, but you know, I thought he was pretty solid.
Pete, how did you see his debut performance?
Exactly the same as Dave said. I thought he was pretty strong.
Yeah. Considering how many appearances did he have for Brisbane last season?
Oh, I'm not a Brisbane stat man, mate.
Oh, sorry.
Well, I'm going to go with like two. It wasn't many.
You probably count them on one hand, so yeah.
I thought he melded with the rest of the team reasonably well, so that's a good sign.
His first touch was forward, which I was very impressed with.
Eight games. Look, I'll just help you out.
Eight games.
Because I'm a good guy. Eight games.
That's a much bigger number than two.
Yeah, and that doesn't take into account starts or subs appearances.
Seven the year before.
Yeah, so he hasn't played much.
So he's better than Kennedy.
Yeah, very true. Boot. Blow the boot in. All right, Emma, we'll talk about the players across the middle. Across the front, and it was what we predicted in the preview podcast, which was Naboo, Brown and
Hooley,
returning Andrew Hull. Hull, I think, had some good patches, but I think he struggled for consistency as well. Naboo, I thought, was slightly better, and Wayne Brown, I thought, was... I said to Dave as we were standing there waiting for Wayne Brown to get out of the showers and
bring
his pasta out, I thought he was probably our best player. And he just seemed to be, similar to Leonardo when he debuted last season, seemed to be a step ahead of everybody else on the pitch. And it's going to take time for the rest of the team to catch up to what he's trying to do.
But you know the difference between Leonardo and Wayne Brown is Wayne Brown, he communicates.
Yeah.
He's talking to people. He speaks a language. He's telling people
Hang on. Leonardo communicated. It just wasn't always pleasant.
Yeah.
It was mostly his frustrations with shit not happening the way he wanted.
It was a lot of puta.
Actually, do you know what? I reckon I'll say Wayne Brown probably doesn't have as much of an ego as what Leonardo does.
But with Leonardo, my problem, we were always saying, you know, he's not on the same page. He's reading from a different book. But he was just doing that, and I was always saying it's a team sport. It's no good you being the best player and being a step ahead of everyone else if you can't work with them. And I think that's what Wayne Brown has different. I think he is going to work well with people because he was saying positive things. He was telling people to get where they needed to be. He was calling for it. He was moving people around. Like, to me, that's key for that position. Mm. So, and I also, I think Hull disappointed me. I think... I'm a massive Hull fan and wanted him to come back shining and prove all the haters wrong, and I don't think he did, but I'm heaps optimistic about Naboo. So.
Yeah. You know what my problem about Wayne Brown was? I thought he played in the wrong position. I think they should have played him in the 10 and put Devante Clute in front of him. I just wanted him to get on the ball more. I don't think he got on the ball enough. I don't know what anyone else thinks, but...
Yeah, that's a pretty good point.
Yeah. Interesting call.
I think it would have been interesting if they may have played Clute in the night, false nine, and played Brown there. Like, Brown just needed to get on the ball.
You talked about it. We were almost playing it at times as a 4-4-2.
Yeah, it was like a 4-4-2 with Clute and
in the second
Brown.
Half.
Yeah, second half, when we were chasing the game. But, yeah, I wouldn't have minded... I think Wayne Brown's going to be a number 10. He's too good to be playing in a false nine or... 11, whatever you want to say, he's in.
Yeah, and I mean, we're obviously looking for a striker, so obviously Wayne Brown's not going to be there long term. He's going to be in another 10.
And we've got Nordstrom.
Yeah,
and Labby coming back.
Yeah, where was Nordstrom tonight? Did I miss why he's not playing?
Yeah, it was discussed in the Scott Miller interview.
They worked him too hard.
Yeah, they worked him too hard towards the end of last season when he came in. So he's just got to see, they've got to manage his fitness.
Sorry, I did listen to that podcast. Yeah. I just forgot completely.
Yeah, no, that's all right.
And while we're at it, Naboo. I thought he was fantastic.
Yeah, I was just about
to come. He was, you know. Dave.
I did just say that.
All right, Dave, go.
This is the title for the. I did just say
that. What was the title?
Yeah. I did just say that.
Yeah. Yep. That's the title for this podcast.
So, anyway, Dave Naboo.
Mansplain Naboo to me, please, Dave.
Mansplain. Oh, jeez. Yes, Doctor.
Congratulations, by the way.
Yeah.
We have an official doctor on the podcast from now on.
Dr. Jetstream.
Naboo was good. Now, I thought Naboo worked really hard. He provided something that we didn't have last year, which is a bit of pace. A lot of pace. And also a bit of strength out wide as well. He's looking to get the ball in and get the ball in low because we're not going to be a team... Let's be realistic. We're not a tall team. We're not going to be looking to put headers in.
How high can he jump, though?
I don't know. I couldn't see.
Didn't he went up for a jump, and the ref blew the whistle, and then the ref goes... sorry, that was a don't jump so high gesture for the little listeners. Yeah. And I was like, is there a rule against
hand signals
being
for
too
podcasts?
Bouncy?
Was that a bit
being
towards
too
the
bouncy.
End where one of them went over and berated the assistant referee when,
no.
when
oh, that player was didn't down? He? What? He loved it.
That was, if anyone missed it, it was on the final Periscope video that was on the Newey Boys stream. I got a good 30 seconds of one of our players giving where the assistant ref strip on the sideline. Was absolutely going off at him.
He might be a good pickup.
Yes. Hmm. All right, Bodes. Obviously, considering the players we've got out and the players we might be signing, who do you think put forward the strongest case to be a regular starter in this team?
Am I supposed to say the obvious, or am I supposed to say someone who maybe won't start at the beginning of the season who put a case forward?
Well, yeah, either way.
Well, you've got your
it's all discussion.
You've obviously got your obviouses in the middle two, mm-hmm. who he's going to start. The one who probably put the biggest case forward is probably Naboo, in my opinion.
If we can jump back to onto Andrew Hull, I'm going to support Emma here. I am not seeing at the moment Andrew Hull's developed from the player that left the Jets last year to the player that's now come back. The attitude is still there.
Mm.
And not in a
is that
good,
a good
way.
I was going to say, is that
not
a good or
a good
bad
way.
Attitude?
And his ability to beat a player, he may be a confidence player, I don't know, but I'm just not seeing the improvement in him.
He went, I'm going to sound like it's just like common occurrence, but he wanted to go inside all the time. It seemed that he never took the opportunity to go. It's like always come in and brocks him. I think on one occasion just jammed him. Like, I don't know. Hull's, I don't know if it's his one play. I don't know whether he just looked good in a really bad team. But look, I think he was nervous tonight. First game back, Magic Park, maybe it had something in it for him. But yeah, I'm a big Hull fan too. I want him to succeed. He's a Newcastle boy.
Yeah.
You always want to see the New England succeed. So,
Pete, everyone else has given their opinions on Hull. Where did you see him?
To be honest, I have no comment. It's, yeah.
Short and sweet.
Short and sweet.
Okay. Yeah. Now, the substitutes that we had.
Substitute.
Oh, we did our usual trick of only bringing...
Yeah, it's back!
It's back.
It's back!
Drink.
Yeah. No, that's mentality. I haven't said that yet.
Drink.
Yeah. All right, Dave, our substitute was...
Christian Brymora.
Mm-hmm.
Blood Mora.
Yeah.
Terry Butcher.
Yeah. I actually thought it was Andy Brennan for a second.
Thank you, Paul, for the Terry Butcher quote.
I completely messed up who it was that came on, but
how did
you see him?
Didn't really have an impact on the game. The only impact on the game that he had was on Lawrence Thomas.
Yeah.
Was he
and
not...
it seems he come off worse anyway.
He had good bandages. Okay?
Yeah, he did have good bandage.
Yeah, well done to the physio.
Yeah. Was he the player you highlighted in the preview podcast that you wanted to see from the youth league team come up and
no, he was the one that I expected if any was going to come up. Mm-hmm. I thought that he was the one that was going to get the opportunity because he's been scoring goals quite regularly in the youth team this year. Okay. So he got his opportunity. I don't think you can really judge a player on the short appearance that he had.
We were already 2-1 down when he came on.
Yeah. So we're chasing the game. Shocking conditions, which appear to have abated now.
Of course it has.
Outside.
Yeah, because I'm inside and I haven't got my umbrella.
Yeah.
I didn't have my umbrella with me.
Just on that, I did have to love the fact that the wind and the rain stopped when we had that, you know, free kick on goal. Mm. And then as soon as we took the free kick, the rain and the wind came back.
Yeah.
So it was great.
It was like Wellington away, wasn't it?
Mate, the wind going everywhere as well.
Yeah, it was swirling. It was brilliant.
The biggest thing I've come from by Moira is Radovan Pasevic, Andy Brennan, Mitch Cooper.
Mm.
They are signed for another season. That's three forward attacking players who were signed, and now we've just had a 17, 18-year-old kid come on in front of them. And I think I'm actually going back to our Scott Miller interview where Scott said, I think you'll begin to see next 6, 12 months my team start to come together, or the squad start to come together, which means those three are on the chopping block. Like, they are. Like, Mitch Cooper, Andy Brennan, they're injury-free, they're fine. So I think,
it says a lot.
I think they're on their way out. Like, they can either go two routes. They can enjoy being being a professional footballer, because I hope they get other contracts, but they can enjoy being a Jets player for another 12 months, or they can look to exit now and
go somewhere where they're actually going to get game time.
Well, at the end of the day, who's going to pick them up?
Well, there's always... Mate,
Mitch Cooper might get a gig somewhere, but the other two...
The Mariners will need players.
This is their first professional gig. Yeah.
Well, the Mariners...
They'll go down the path of your Marco Jesic, your Sean Rees.
NPL.
Hey,
Sydney and Northern.
Pav scored a good goal for Marconi the other week.
What are you saying sorry to me for?
Oh, I thought I'd spat when I was yelling.
Yeah, no, that's all right. Okay. No worries. All right, so we talked about it before.
Too much coffee.
Style of play. We did see that it was supposed to be a 4-3-3 or a 4-2-1-3 or a 4-4-2. It sort of swapped around.
Four at the back, fluid at the front.
Stop trying to be like Mitch saying, there's no such thing as a formation. It's all the same.
There was no such thing as a formation tonight for me, but I thought they were just all over the park.
In a good way or a bad way?
I would say a bad way. I just thought they lacked direction quite often and they just weren't going where they were meant to be going.
I think we had a good period. I thought the second half was much better than the first.
I'd agree.
First 15, we come out flying. Got the goal and everything.
Oh, second half. I thought you were talking about the first.
I was going to say, horrible. I don't remember the first 15 minutes being...
This is a Jets podcast, not a victory podcast, but...
First 15, I regretted leaving this place, the Premier.
Yeah.
Can we get back to the bar?
Yeah.
There's signs. I'm not as optimistic... As I said, I'm not as optimistic as what I was last year, but... We've still got places to fill. There's still players to come back.
The only reason I'm optimistic, Dave, from last year, that was our settled squad. We did not have much to get to grow from the.
We had Truffaut and Leo still to come in.
We did, but we now have Bugard and Nordstrand to come back in, plus another one.
Labby.
We've got more to come. Whereas last year we had two. We've got better depth this year. And look, at the end of the day, like, those blokes are going to get better. I think Brown, Agarkovic, and Pop, they're going to be better for it.
It was only our second match.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And look, at the end of the day, there's a bit more money in China than there is in FFA Cup fixtures, so maybe it's a blessing in disguise.
That's very true. So, Emma, we did see... did we see much of a difference between last season Scott Miller tactics than that we saw tactics tonight from Scott Miller?
I'm not sure if I can answer that from tonight's game. Because I feel like in these games everyone goes a little bit experimental and tries some things, and I think probably that's where the wheels fall off a little bit. So I'm not 100% certain.
I don't reckon the weather allowed it either.
Although you think slippery surface, you'd be able to zip the ball around. He was talking about an aggressive...
Got chopped up a fair bit.
Aggressive, energetic... Well, obviously that affected towards the end of the game.
No, it was pretty choppy at the start too, in my opinion.
Okay.
Yeah, in the over the stand side where both teams were warming up,
it was real choppy.
I mean, we're not going to get a perfect surface unless we play these games at Hunter Stadium because that's obviously the best pitch, but...
Hey, the pitch, besides the scuff marks, when I just had a quick jump on it at the end, it was... still good underfoot.
Okay.
And I'm just wearing a pair of Stan Smith Adidas.
Thank you, hashtag
three stripes.
Hashtag three stripes forever.
Yeah.
Dave, did you want to tactics and style of play?
No. A lot of one-touch stuff. The ball movement for me at times is still a bit slow.
I think it was both sides. It wasn't as though we were the... Both teams played to the conditions, just... One team played a little better and had a little bit more quality.
One team was also better at acting as well, though, let's be fair.
There was a few good dives.
Dave, I didn't mind your comment in the sheds at the end of the game. Alan Green was the ref, was he?
Yeah.
Alan Milner. How does it feel to make your Melbourne victory debut?
Yeah. There actually was quite a funny tweet that I saw at the end of the game that said, is anybody going to talk about the fact that there were 12 players on the park? They had a player in black out there.
I was saying that during the game.
Anyway.
Yeah.
I did yell out
at one when he gave Hoffman the yellow card, something along the lines of, is it still pre-season for the referees as well? Used to guys trying to find form.
Well, we can't get a break and draw a semi-professional club for the FFA Cup, but we always seem to get the most semi-professional of all the refs.
In saying that, Jets fans do have an amazing, you know, habit of blaming the ref.
I don't normally,
because they
deserve
it.
They do quite often.
We need to blame something.
Yeah, exactly. We can't blame ourselves.
We can't blame the players forever.
If you're a regular listener to the pod, you will know I'm not normally that guy. I don't go for ref bashing at all normally.
The card count ended up 4-4.
Okay.
So,
is there any other worthwhile stats to go through, Dave?
Oh, I don't know, mate.
I will say the card count wound up 4-4, but it could have easily been 7 or 8.
The Boo's lucky he didn't get one for dissent. Would have been worth it, though.
Who was lucky he didn't get one?
All right, we'll go around the table. Man of the match. Votes.
Stephen Agarkovic. Well known by Joel Griffiths as Stevie UG. Sign him up, Laurie, when you listen to this in the morning. Sign him up.
Yeah, well, Benny will listen to it in the morning. Laurie will take a few days. Pete?
Kennedy. Wait, all right. Sorry. Brown. Yeah, definitely Brown. Not Kennedy.
Emma?
Can I do a new guy man of the match and a old guy man of the match? Because I'm torn between Brown and Agarkovic. So, yeah, I'm going to go both of them together.
Dave?
Stevie UG. And Benny, you are listening to it, so... Do what Bodie says. Tell Laurie to give him a contract, please.
Definitely. I'll say Wayne Brown, mainly due to the fact that, like I said before, I think he was a step ahead of everyone else with his vision and what he was trying to do, and the fact that he scored a bomb of a goal.
So yeah, it was a screamer too. It was really classy.
Yeah,
and he scored in the Mariners' closed match as well, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did. So he's 2-for-2.
So I'm expecting him to score next match, champ, if you're listening.
And like Dave said in the interview with him, seventh player to score on debut in a competitive match for the Jets.
Happy days.
Are we going to do the closing question that we're going to do for the opening question?
Well, we did forget to do the opening
question. No, not we.
Yeah, I forgot to do the opening question. We'll do the opening
it's
question.
It's our first year off after
Shut up. I'll glass you. We'll do
I've
that.
I've been married now for a couple of months.
We'll do that at the end. Shut up. All right. Well, you didn't pull me up on it, so, like, seriously.
You're the director.
Yeah. Well,
it's a team game, both.
It's a team game, yes. We're all supposed to help out.
Yeah, I'm the number 10.
Can I say, actually, man of the match as well, the 1,900 people that were out at that stadium in freaking ridiculous weather.
No.
Good on you for getting out there and supporting the boys.
And double
1,956
snaps.
To be
double snaps to the 50, 60% of those people who were actually standing in the rain.
Yeah, because... Well,
I was quite comfortable under the stands.
Yeah, I was too.
Three.
I was out in the rain, don't stress it.
Not all the time.
My skirt is still wet.
So we'll quickly talk the Melbourne Victory side of things, just to close it off. Boats, who were you impressed with in their side?
Bezenich and Valeri. They're good players. They are very good players.
There were some agricultural challenges, coming from Valeri.
Is it Barlow?
Barrow.
I call him Barlow.
The wheel.
Yeah. Barrow, the centre-back. He was also very good. Other than that, look, they're a good team. They're a good team.
Pete, who did you like? Who did you...
I think the whole team just outplayed us. You know, I'm being very critical. The Jets showed good signs at points. Mm. We had some really good plays. We had, 58% possession, I think it was.
Yeah, I think it was 59-41 or something along
those
lines.
Yeah, we definitely had more possession, but even though Melbourne had less ball, I thought they looked better.
Mm. They were more effective in possession with it.
Definitely, and really I think the whole team just outshone us.
Not the whole team, not Galloway.
Well...
Galloway.
Okay. The whole team and the referee.
Galloway dead weight for them. They should have swapped him for the ref and they probably would have done better.
They had the ref anyway, so...
Yeah, well, yeah. Emma, who'd you... Anyone from Victory that you saw that was particularly impressed you?
Yeah, probably also Bezenich. And I'm not going to say anything nice about Berisha, but he's looking a bit chunkier this season.
Yeah.
It was a pretty good goal.
Mic drop.
He looks like a wombat. And I'm pretty sure they measured him for those shorts before the off-season, because I think he subbed early because he was about to split a seam.
Do they have wombats in Albania?
I don't know. Maybe in a zoo.
Yeah, true. Dave, anyone from Victory?
He had a pretty poor season last year, but I thought Ben Kalfala looked pretty good. The cross that...
He needs to improve.
Yep. His cross for the first goal was sublime. It was right on his melon. Do wombats eat melons?
No, we don't.
You're the doctor.
I am not a doctor of wombats.
This is going to be a theme, I think. It's either going to be wombats or I already said that.
I thought Nick Ansell. He looks like he's bulked up. He looks a lot stronger, and he's probably ready now to be a starter.
Hmm. I'm going to give a nod to Lawrence Thomas. I just thought he looked pretty assured in their goal and directed their defence. And we were forever yelling at BK to try the long-range chip from the goal kick to see if he could get it over his head, but he didn't listen to us.
We were yelling at most of our team to take long-range shots when that wind was up, and it just didn't happen.
Yeah.
We had the wind advantage, the ball was floating around, and no one was taking advantage.
For a reason, you can't chance it. I mean, there's been some spectacular goals scored. So
if nothing else, it puts the keeper under pressure and makes him more tired later on in the game.
Pushes him back on their line.
Mm. Yeah. All right, Dave, any other points you want to bring up before we wrap it down?
No, mate, I'm good.
You're all...
Happy days.
Happy days. All right. Well, that pretty much wraps it up, guys. We'll pop into a few interviews now. Dave and I were lucky enough to be able to speak to Jets debutantes Devante Clute and Wayne Brown. You'll hear those in a second, but we just want to thank everybody for coming to the Premier Hotel for the trial of the new pre-game venue. Everyone seemed to think it was...
I'll be asking this question or what?
Drinks are pretty cheap here.
I will in a second.
Okay, back into the Premier plug.
The Hop Thief is fantastic.
Yeah, so there's...
I got top shelf gin for $8.
Oh, jeez. Mm.
You'd pay that for bottom shelf gin in the city.
Top versus... Yes, okay.
You'd pay that for BB in the city.
Well, that's very true. Basically we want to thank everyone that come along to the Premier Hotel for the pre-match. And since though everybody keeps hassling me about it, we're going to do the opening question as the closing question.
The closing question.
The closing question of the podcast this week, because it's the off-season and, I'm out of practice. So I forgot. But anyway.
Dyslexic.
So the question was, with the Rio Olympics just around the corner, which sport do you think the person on your left would be able to compete in? So, Bodes, we'll start with you.
Steady on here.
Yeah.
I don't know him very well. I have the same problem.
Make up a sport.
Hammer throw?
Can I just add that you were so insistent on asking the question?
Greco-Roman wrestling. Yeah, well, you knew you were insistent on this question. He's sitting on your left. I've given you this extra 40 minutes to think of an answer. Your shit. Now, come on.
Rhythmic gymnastics.
Okay, so nobody really wants to see me in Lycra.
I've also never seen a bearded rhythmic gymnast.
Want to see what you got for me, so I'm...
So that was the whole point. So
yeah. You actually just stole
really
my answer.
It's really a test. Oh, did you?
yeah, you stole my answer. Pete?
Doctor, team doctor? I don't really know. I don't know Emma that well at
He's
all.
He's worried he might offend me.
Well, there is that. So I don't know. You tell me.
Barbieri actually doesn't play for the Olympics anymore. You goalkeeper? You goalkeeper for the Matildas?
Football, there you go.
Yeah,
I'm pretty shit at football.
Go on, Em.
We all are. That's why we're around here talking about it.
That's why we're talking about football.
Speak for yourself.
Wow. Yeah. We should have subbed you on in the second half.
Should have.
I have no doubts for my answer. I would put Dave in the badminton.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
that's
a bit
of a hipster.
I can see that. I can totally see that.
What's the ball called in badminton? What's the thing they hit?
Shuttlecock.
You want me to say shuttlecock?
Yeah,
don't you?
I did.
Yeah. Maybe that's your episode title for today.
Shuttlecock.
Dave
and his shuttlecock.
Dave hitting the shuttlecock.
Dave and his shuttlecock.
Oh, God.
This is going to be interesting. Just
clay shooting.
Really? Why? You see me as a gun owner?
Yeah.
Do I look right wing?
You would rock those glasses.
Do I look right wing?
I don't know. Are you a left footer or a right footer?
Right.
Maybe you do play right wing.
Okay.
I don't know.
Interesting. Clay shooting? Okay. Yeah. Well, you stole my other one, rhythmic gymnastics.
I'd look at it.
Yeah, you'd look at it. Yeah,
so bearded. The two bearded guys have
the
been
two bearded guys for rhythmic gymnastics. Swimming. Synchronized swimming, water polo.
Yeah, I can play a little water
Dave
polo.
Dave suggested dressage, so I wasn't sure whether that was the rider or the horse, but
you got me. Fair enough.
And on that
Hey, at the end of the day, Black Caviar won like 100 horse races. How's his dressage? I reckon I could go okay.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
That's very true.
So dressage.
Dressage.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, we'll settle on dressage.
Even a sport?
Yes, it is.
Ooh. Okay, we just lost the
viewer. We've lost
every horse fan in this.
It's more an activity.
You've already offended the wombat.
Yes.
It's like motor racing and motor hobbying.
Let's not niche our product anymore by disadvantaging people we're trying to attract. All right, so thank you very much, guys, for listening. If you want to get in contact with us, podcast@newcastlefootball.net, facebook.com/jetstreamnewy, @jetstreamnewy on Twitter. If you want to get these guys on Twitter, you can message them. Boats, what's your Twitter handle for this week, mate? Or we're not going to come up with a snappy reply.
Stein's DVUG.
At Lee Broxham.
I think we should clarify this.
No neck.
So, While we're standing around waiting for Wayne Brown to come out of the longest shower that I reckon I've ever seen anyone have.
You were watching him?
No.
Okay.
We were waiting in the freezing cold.
Damn.
Bodes and I just stand there having a talk in the corridor, and this bloke pushes past us and goes...
No, this kid. This little kid.
Oh, Jerry goes, oh, fucking hell, and pushes through it.
We turn around.
It's Lee Broxham. Well. Lee Broxham.
Yeah, little kid Lee Broxham.
Turned around and had the shits and kept on walking. We just started cracking up laughing.
He
must be listening to the podcast and know that we nominated him for the most punchable face in the A-League.
I still haven't
still
seen
got
him.
The attitude of a 14-year-old school child.
He's about as tall as a 14-year-old.
Yeah, imagine true. How he acts when they lose.
All right,
if
well,
that's how
we've
he acts when
it.
They win.
All right, what's, so what's your Twitter handle?
What's your Twitter handle, Bodes? @BodieNovo. Yeah, are you on Twitter? Novo.
Yeah, I am. O to B.
Cool. Emma?
I'm Synapse101, but I'm probably going to add a doctor
to the front
of that.
Add Dr. Synapse101.
Dave, can you get rid of the Jetta pool and make yourself at director of stats? It's got to happen.
Oh, yeah, whatever.
And, of course, I'm at Newey Boys. So coming up right now to round out the podcast, we're going to have the interviews with Devon Clute and Wayne Brown, and we will speak to you guys sometime in the future before the season starts. Thanks very much for listening.
Aurora Bali Alice.
You've already used that one.
I know, it's so good at the moment. Yeah, good stuff, yeah. Go Jets.
Happy day.
And did you see Homer's voting for Hillary?
Oh, is he?
Is he?
Mm. Wait, what about the Simpsons actually picking the Donald Trump thing about going, that was unbelievable. Have you seen that?
Like, I saw a screenshot
like
of it.
Like 10 years ago, they predicted that Donald Trump would run for president in 20, I think it was 2020 they predicted. But
so they're not far off.
They're not far off.
Wow.
Simpsons did it. Simpsons did it.
Okay, first up, we've got Devante Clute. We're interrupting his post-match meal. Devante, disappointing result first up.
Yeah, it is disappointing, and we all came out wanting to win. But taken from the positives, I thought we played well, considering it's our second game of the preseason. We're all pretty happy. From here, we just take our positives and work towards the season.
Yourself, how would you rate your performance tonight?
I'm going to put it on a scale, but I was pretty happy with certain parts of my game. Considering the conditions and whatnot, I'm pretty happy.
Yeah, look, I tend to agree. I think you had a really good game. You had some really nice touches and managed to turn the victory players around. And you're unlucky to score up in the first half.
Yeah, I was saying to a few of the boys, I knew what I needed to do. I just didn't do it properly.
Tough conditions out there to play tonight. The worst you played in for a while?
Yeah, for a long time. For a couple of years, actually. The worst was when I was actually a lot younger. That was really bad.
Did it affect the game plan at all, the conditions, or did everything pretty much go to plan?
No, not really. It wasn't. The reason I like set plan, we have our structures and what we want to do, and I think we actually did that. And because we did, and we know we can, we turned them around, and really, if we just executed, the whole game could have been different. So just more things to work on and just go from there.
So what's next for the boys?
I'm pretty sure we have a Tamworth trip. Yeah, next week. So a couple more friendlies and good to be as a team together. So we'll just see how that goes.
No worries. All right, Devante, thank you for joining us.
No worries, thank you.
Cheers, mate. Thanks very much.
Thanks Devante. Appreciate it, mate.
Okay. All right, we're here after the match and we're talking with Jets import Wayne Brown. Wayne, welcome to Newcastle first and foremost.
Cheers, thank you very much.
How are you settling in first off?
Yeah, settled in really well. The lads have been terrific. The area's great. We've enjoyed the local beach and the family have settled in really nicely. So we're happy and delighted to be here.
Yeah, well, the place is great when it's not 12 degrees and raining and windy all over the place. Get to the game. Overall, what were your thoughts?
Of course, we're disappointed, you know. Our aim was to go through in the tie. But, you know, we've got to take a lot of positives from the game. A lot of boys played 90 minutes today, so the fitness will improve. I thought we worked on some of the stuff in training we managed to put into the game. You know, we worked well with the ball and without the ball. I think we showed a glimpse of the fans, you know, what we want to be about this year, you know, dynamic and enthusiastic on the pitch. So, of course, we're not happy with the result, but there's a lot of positives to take.
Yeah, definitely. How much of a factor in the result do you think the conditions were? Because they were very trying, obviously, with the rain coming in sideways and sheeting down at several points throughout the match. Coming from Europe, I'm sure you've played in those conditions before.
Yeah, of course. You know, I think this is an FA Cup tie. You know, like in England, this is the sort of weather you get. But, you know, I don't think the weather's to blame for the result. You know, I think we were the better team on the night. You know, just a few errors, you know, for the goals. You know, we can't afford to give away them. You know, it's hard to win games when you make a few mistakes. But, you know, we've taken the positives and we go on to the next now.
And personally, how did you find your own performance?
Yeah, you know, of course, there's a lot to work on, you know, fitness wise. You know, that's only my second game, you know, since January or February, so, you know, long time I've played before, so, you know, I've felt really good, worked hard, and, you know, great to play in front of the fans for the first time.
Excellent.
Always nice to get off the mark with a goal. Something that we tweeted out during the match is that you're the seventh Jets player in history to score on their competitive debut. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
I guess what's next for you? What are you looking to achieve in the coming season?
You know, I think just as a team, we're looking to improve. You know, it's exciting times at the club with new owners. You know, but we're just looking forward to working hard in the pre-season. You know, we've got a tough opening round fixtures, you know, so we want to make our mark early on in with results. But, you know, we're just going to work hard. We need to keep working on our shape, our positions. And of course, like all the boys are still getting used to playing with each other and positions and linking up. So we'll keep working hard on the training front.
And lastly, what sort of positions do you feel most comfortable playing? It was a question we asked Scott, but it'd be interesting to get your take on where your most effective position on the pitch is.
I think maybe through the centre of the pitch I like to play. But, you know, I'm happy to play wherever the gaffer wants me to play. I'm quite a versatile player, you know, so I can play all through the midfield or up top or even holding centre mid. So, you know, I'll do the best.
Good diplomatic answer.
Well, okay, I'll actually ask the last question if that's okay. It's very interesting. We're all standing here rugged up to the highs and you're in a T-shirt. Are you willing to share any of your pasta with us? We're freezing.
No, this is as I say, like everyone's been wrapped up recently, but you know, this weather's beautiful for us compared to England, so I think we'll be struggling when the temperatures really kick up. So
he avoided the question on the pasta.
That's all it is.
Wayne Brown, thank you for joining us on the Jetstream.
All right.
Thanks, mate. Appreciate it. Thanks very much.